From Ticker Tape, this is Where's My Money? Conventional wisdom often tells us that we should invest in a stock and hold it for the long term. And while that's a fantastic strategy that has proven to be successful for so many, there are also several other philosophies that have been proven to be a great way to build your portfolio. It's all about choosing a philosophy that matches your particular personality, which is why on the Where's My Money podcast, we want to expose you to as many approaches as possible to help you decide what investment philosophy would work best for you. And on today's episode, we're going to break down the fundamentals of a strategy called momentum investing. We're going to take you through what momentum investing is, the pros and cons of this strategy, and how to get started if you're interested in making this a part of your approach. And to do this, we spoke to Alok Jain of Weekend Investing. And we started the conversation by asking Alok, what is momentum investing?
Before momentum investing, let's understand what is momentum. So momentum is basically sort of a persistence in performance. You can think of the Newton's first law that an object in motion stays in motion unless it is acted upon by another force. And that's what happens in stock prices also. Stock prices that are going up tend to keep going up till they don't. And stock prices that are going down tend to keep going down till they don't. So the momentum is essentially a measure of this momentum or change in this direction. So how we approach momentum is that we measure the rate of change. So, you know, market price today versus 3 months back, market price today versus 12 months back. And that rate of change of price essentially tells us where each stock is ranked against each other. So one stock may be, you know, up 100% in the last 12 months. Another stock may be up 50%. Another one may be 30%. And we will just rank them according to their momentum ranking. And then basically choose that ranking list as a base to pick stocks from. But that's just one way of looking at momentum investing. There are just like value investing, other factors of investing. There are so many ways of doing it. Within momentum also, you could look at rate of change. You could look at percentage from their 52-week highs as a measure. You could look at weighted average on multiple rates of change over different periods. So there are many ways to measure how one stock is performing versus the other. And this is how we basically do momentum rankings. And once we have the ranks, we use that to select stocks which are the strongest in the pack and create a portfolio of them.
The next follow-up question is, could you define how momentum investing is actually different than trading, or is it different? Could you just expand upon this particular point?
So trading versus investing is a debate that is as old as the hills. I mean, what is trading and what is investing? What is that time period which defines a transaction to be called a trade or to be called an investment? So that is different for everybody. Some people may call anything that you do within a year as trading. Some people may call anything within 3 years as trading, or some others may look at, you know, intraday or intraweek, etc. What we at Weekend Investing do is we look at the portfolio once a week usually. So our approach towards momentum investing is that we will do a weekly review of the portfolio. And in case there is any change, then we will do a rebalance at the end of the week. So one change, maybe in a portfolio of 20 stocks, one or two stocks may change every week. So you may call it trading if you want. But it is, you know, you may hold stocks for 6 months to 12 months as well. So it's a matter of perspective how you look at that.
The question I have is about time dedicated to the portfolio. So you mentioned that once a week you do a review and see, you know, whether you want to stay or hold your position or let it go. From the perspective of if the individual listener was to take this up, how often should he or she be looking at their portfolio and making changes? And based on what factors should they be making changes?
The classical way of doing momentum investing is to maybe take a review of the portfolio within a quarter or a month. We do it more frequently on a weekly basis to keep the drawdowns lower. Typically, a person would not require more than, you know, if they are set up to do all their data crunching, etc., more than half an hour a month or something like that. So it's not time consuming at all. But however, momentum investing is counterintuitive. So That's the difficulty in most new entrants into this field who face, because we're always taught buy low, sell high. Whereas in momentum, what you're doing is you're buying high and selling higher. So when you're buying higher, at that point, it is in contrast to your value system. We're saying a stock has already run up 100%. Why am I buying it here? But you need to then believe in your methodologies. And once you have experience of running these portfolios over time, it will give you a lot of confidence that, yes, this works. And it has been working for the last couple of 100 years.
So I want to ask here, you buy high and you sell higher. That selling point, how do you know when it's time to get rid of that stock?
So the exit strategy is one of the most important aspects of any investing. Most people are able to buy stocks, hold them, but they are unable to exit them either in profit or in loss. That's because there is no strategy that most people have around the exit. Exiting again could have so many different ways of, you know, structuring that. You may decide that, you know, if it's a 20% drop from the top, from the highest point reached, I will exit. You may decide that if it goes below 50 days moving average, I will exit. So it's a mechanical structured stop that you put in your system. And as I said, because you are not looking at each stock with any love or affection, they are like moving buses. A bus is coming, you're boarding it, you're exiting. So you don't really care. You know, another bus is about to come. You don't want to stick with that one bus that you got onto and sort of be in total, emotional about it.
Where would an investor set their automated stop loss? You know, you would want to sell as soon as it's going higher. There's a little bit of dip, you sell there, right? But what if immediately after you invest, the stock goes down? How would they deal with that particular scenario?
Essentially, a structured, non-discretionary system is covered with, you know, a framework which is rule-based and which is crystal clear at all points of time. So at any point of time, while entry or while you are in the middle of the portfolio, you will know these four things: what to buy, when to buy, how much to buy, and when to sell. These four fundamental legs of your structure need to be clear at all times. So as soon as you buy, you know there is an exit point, even if it starts to go down from the day you enter. Essentially, there is no ambiguity in terms of, like, the market pushes you against the wall and then you are, you know, thinking, what should I do now? That ambiguity is not there. Yes, we may lose and we may win, but there is no ambiguity.
So there's conventional wisdom that index funds outperform actively managed funds. So what would you say to that? And if you could just explore that idea, why or why not that may be true or not?
There are so many studies that have been done over 200 years of data, mostly in the US, but also recently in the Indian markets. And they have seen that all these biases that we encounter while investing, they can be beaten if you are having a structured approach to the system. So now you are even seeing, you know, momentum-based ETFs coming into market, momentum-based indices coming into market. So people are realizing that structured investing is actually the way to go. And it does have sort of a premium risk-return ratio on top of the conventional one. Because in conventional investing, while there's nothing wrong in that, it is a lot of burden of your being involved in it at all times. How many variables are going on? And that tends to impact your decision-making and your thinking. Whereas in a structured approach, this is all noise. So that's why, you know, when we take a weekly review, for the entire week, we are not really bothered about what's happening in the market because we are not going to act upon it.
You're less dependent on news and more dependent on numbers to guide your strategy.
Yes, so that's the principle of the BBC that I said, Bhav Bhagwanche, where, you know, price is God and price has encompassed everything about that stock that needs to be discounted. Whatever news, whatever results, whatever sectoral happenings are there is already built into the price.
And, you know, we once had this conversation on value investing earlier on in this podcast, and the gentleman who came on the show mentioned that the benefit of long-term investing, well, one additional benefit is this idea of taxes and not having to pay consistent taxes on consistent trades. Whenever you win, you're constantly going to have to account for that. And when you invest for the long term, you yield the benefit of not paying that and the compounding impact of not paying that. So could you just explore that idea a little bit as well?
So let me make it very clear that long-term investing is a great way of investing. However, each one of us is built very differently. Our psychologies are very, very different from one another. And there may be a large number of people who may not be able to wait for 10 years for a stock to perform, who may not be able to digest a 50% drawdown and still sit on the stock, who may not be able to continuously put money into a stock which does not move. So it is a very dependent upon your own psychology in terms of what type of investing you're doing. But in terms of taxation, yes, there is more churn in the momentum investing environment, obviously, because if you're churning maybe two or three times in a year, there will be more taxation. Short-term capital gains is 15% on the profit, but long-term capital gains is also 10% now. So there's not so much of a difference in terms of the taxation bit, but the change in the outperformance of a portfolio should more than take care of that, I believe.
I just want to ask you one final question. So let's say somebody who's listening to this podcast says, hey, I really want to take up momentum investing right away. This sounds very interesting to me. What are the logical next steps for them to take? Because there's several different avenues, right? So they can invest their money with a team like yours. They can try it themselves. What are the first few steps that they should take on this journey?
So if the investor would like to do it themselves, I would recommend they read about momentum investing. They read a few books on momentum investing written by Klinau, by Wes Gray, by Anton Achi. And there are tons of blog posts. Our own website has a lot of material and videos on momentum investing. Go through all that. Create a data set or buy a professional data service where you will get every day, you know, the data from the exchange, and you'll be able to analyze that data using a software like maybe Amy Broker or MetaStock. And then, of course, every week or every month or every quarter, whichever whatever frequency that you choose, you could run this. You could find the preferred list of stocks, invest in it, and continue that. What I've seen usually is that because it is contra to one's intuitive nature, you know, to buy high and sell higher, it is always best to have some external help, at least in the first few years, and take somebody's service who's offering momentum investing or some guidance or some research. And then once you have that knack of, you know, that you've seen it in action and you're confident, then maybe you can also do it yourself.
Alok, I think that is everything we need to produce an awesome podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show.
Great. Thank you so much, Ed.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Where's My Money by Tickertape. On this show, we simplify the finance landscape in India for you. So if you're looking to venture into stock investing, sort out your personal finance, or make sense of how economic developments can impact your money, this podcast will be a perfect addition to your morning commute or household chores. Also, if you enjoyed the episode and want more of this, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform to never miss an episode. And last but not least, consider downloading the Tickertape app. It is an investment analysis platform for stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, and much more. The link and further description will be in the show notes below. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we will see you in the next one.